The following is a presentation from Lancaster Baptist Church and Pastor Paul Chapel.
Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. This is our theme passage for the entire year, and we're going to revisit it tonight. Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. Our theme, of course, is launching out this year. And today we're going to launch out with purpose. We're going to learn how to discover God's purpose along the pathway of obedience. And so let's stand together for our scripture reading. Make room for those coming in from the lobby. Luke chapter 5, and you should have received your notes on the way in. Is everybody ready to dive into the Word of God tonight? And I want to make sure we're awake and ready to go. And so Luke chapter 5, verse 5 is where we're going to begin. And if you were here with us way back on the first Sunday of January, this is where it all began. And sometimes it's good to revisit a text and remind ourselves, because we want to finish strong in this theme of launching out as we come to the final months of 2013. Of course, we're going to look at this from a little different perspective tonight, but Luke 5:5 is where we want to begin, and actually we'll start in verse 4. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." And Simon answering said unto him, "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net." And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John and the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you have given to us this theme and this truth from your word to launch out. And Father, we pray that as we do launch out by faith in our Christian living this week and this year, that we would be reminded that you have called us with an holy calling and with a purpose for living. And I pray that many this week would discover that purpose anew and afresh in their lives. And we pray that we would see it even in the text tonight. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, this week we have begun the Love Works campaign, and what a tremendous blessing it has been to see God working all over the Antelope Valley through a church that has simply signed up on a website saying, "I want to be a part." And every Sunday for the next several Sundays, we're going to get a little idea of what God is doing throughout the Antelope Valley. But I wanted to just steal a little thunder tonight and maybe share three or four slides of some things that have been taking place. Here's the crew that went over to the community shelter and served dinner this week. And then on the next slide, I think we have some of the crew that went serving. Over 700 commuters this week have received hot coffee and a word of encouragement. And then we had those that went over to the DMV and gave out coffee and donuts and the gospel at the DMV. We had students today over at AV College giving out hundreds of cool drinks and gospel messages at the AV College. By the way, sometimes people complain and say it can't be done on campuses, and there's just, you don't want to offend, and we got to just be real tolerant. But the fact is, Lancaster Baptist Church is just going everywhere this week with the gospel. Here's Brother Chapel about an hour and a half ago preaching to a public school football team, and after that game, two young men accepted Christ as Savior. Here's some teens yesterday picking up trash at a local high school, and after they did that, seven teenagers accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior yesterday at AV High School on the grounds there. And the pictures will be going on and on all month long. All of that to say, love works. And when we get out and show the love of God and share the gospel of Jesus Christ, how many of you believe there's power in the gospel message if we'll just get out and lovingly get in the middle of the situation out there called life and tell someone about the goodness of God? His love works. And that's exactly what Jesus has commanded us to do. Matthew 4:19, he saith unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And all we're trying to do this week is get out there into a whole bunch of different ponds and throw out the gospel message and reel folks in, if you will, with the gospel message. And so a calling that God has given to us that leads us to a purpose for the Christian life. Now, let's notice in the text tonight some very basic principles just to kind of hit the reset button tonight in this Bible study. Notice, first of all, the command of our Savior. Notice the command that is given in verse 4. We saw this back in January. He said to Peter, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." Now, notice the action in this command. It is to launch out. It is not wading out, it is launching out, it is thrusting out into the work. This is the way God wants us to approach His work. God has called us and He has commissioned us. And He says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." And so the action involves our immediate thrusting out with the gospel. Spurgeon said, "I know of nothing which I would choose to have as the subject of my ambition for life than to be kept faithful to God until my death. I would be still a soul winner, still be true to the herald of the cross, and testify the name of Jesus to the last hour. It is only such who in the ministry shall be saved." In other words, if you're going to get involved right up to the hilt. And the action of serving Jesus involves launching out, thrusting out into the work. And if you are still one of these that has your toe kind of in the water and you're thinking about maybe passing out a tract or you're thinking about maybe giving someone a cup of coffee, let me encourage you this week, launch on out into the deep. That's what Jesus said to Peter. He said, "Peter, you're not going to catch any fish from the shore here. You've got to get out where the fish are." But notice secondly the location. He says, I want you to launch out into the deep. Now, the deep represents the place of faith. It is the place where we're not always comfortable. It is the place where we sometimes fear to go. It is the place that requires great faith. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. My wife's favorite verse, Jeremiah 33:3, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not." And so we see in the scriptures that Jesus says to Peter, "Peter, I want you to launch out, but I want you to launch out into the deep." You know, we have many Christians today who are still in the baby pool, and they're still in the shallow end, and they're afraid and timid to get out into the deep. But let me tell you, when we reach our extremity, God will meet us there. And we're not excited about just seeing this week what we can do. We want to see what God can do when we get out into places and situations that are out of our comfort zone and places where we must have God's leadership and God's help. Hudson Taylor, the great missionary to China, said, "Many Christians estimate difficulties in the light of their own resources and thus attempt little and often fail in the little they attempt. All of God's giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckoned on His power and presence with them." How many of you would admit that at your best, you're still a weak man or a weak woman? I'll admit that. I don't have the ability. You don't have the ability to save someone, to change someone's life. But when weak people say, "Lord, here's my life. Take control of my life." Then little is much when, say the rest of it, God is in it. Little is much when God is in it. And so the action, launch out, and then the location, launch out into the deep. And that's what we're doing this week. By faith, we're saying, "Lord, we want to get out there where the fish are. We want to get out in the middle of the action and get our rods out over the edge and get our nets out over the edge. And Lord, we're trusting You to use this effort and to use the bait of a donut, of coffee, of a submarine sandwich like was given to the high schoolers today. And we're just going to ask You to use that, Lord, so that others will know Your love and Your gospel." That was the command that Jesus gave. Launch out in the deep. Notice secondly, though, not only the command of the Savior, but notice the consent of Peter. The consent of Peter. Now, we've studied this in January, but look at verse 5 again. Notice it says, "And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." Now, the first thing we see before the consent of Peter is the human reasoning of Peter. Notice his human reasoning. Peter is saying to the Lord, Lord, I'm a professional fisherman, and Lord, I want you to know that we've toiled all through the night, and the night is the best time for catching these fish. And Lord, it's been a long night. I'm busy. I'm tired, he could have said. And how many of you find that sometimes when it comes to obeying God, we want to negotiate with him? I mean, he couldn't have been any clearer. The Lord said, as the Father hath sent me, so send I you. The Lord said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go preach the gospel to every creature. He could not have been any clearer. But sometimes, like Peter, we want to say, but Lord, it's really hard in my neighborhood. And Lord, it's really hard where I work. And people today don't want to talk about God. They don't want to talk about politics or religion. By the way, that's not true. They're talking about politics everywhere you work today. The fact of the matter is that that Jesus has been clear with respect to his desire for us, and his command is clear. Dr. Curtis Hudson often said, the only alternative to soul winning is disobedience. There's only one alternative. We're either going to obey or disobey. And so it was that there was some human reasoning going on. And let me just encourage you, whether it's in the area of soul winning, whether it's in the area of forgiving, whether it's in the area of giving, whatever it is God's stirring you up to do, I want to remind you that you can trust God in the matter. Proverbs 3 and verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. What was Peter doing? He was leaning unto his own understanding. And we see churches across America saying, well, you know, teenagers don't want to hear it. All they want to do is listen to their rap music. Well, I want to tell you something, that Brother Santiago and some teenagers yesterday, and Brother Chaplin, some teenagers today, led a bunch of other teenagers to the Lord. Listen, don't make excuses. Don't say teenagers don't want to hear it. You know what teenagers want? The same thing everybody else wants. They want to know that there's a God that loves them, and there's a place in heaven that's for them. And so Peter was kind of making up some excuses. And a lot of times that's what we do. We kind of make excuses about why it can't be done. One author said, our obedience to God's commands is the expression of trusting Christ. It is not our words, but our deeds that stand the test of Christ's gaze. Love of Jesus is measured by obedience to what he commands. Jesus said it that way. He said, my sheep know my voice. My sheep obey my commands. And so we see the human reasoning of Peter. And how many of you are like me? Sometimes you got to get past that logic before you get to faith. You got to move past your reasoning and come to faith and say, no, I'm not going to say, here's why it can't be done. I'm going to obey my God. And so we see his human reasoning, but then we see his heartfelt response. And we see that in the second portion of verse 5. Peter says, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. All right, now we've said those words before, but let's say them again, beginning with nevertheless. Ready, begin. Nevertheless, at thy word. Now, a lot of times in January, we get excited and we say a phrase like that, I will let down the net. But how many of you believe it pleases God when in October we're still doing it? I will let down the net. And when we give out a gospel tract, and when we go out soul winning, and when we invite someone to Love Work Sunday, we're just letting down the net. We're saying, Lord, yes, sir, at thy word, I will let down the net. And this is what Peter is doing, his heartfelt expression of obedience to God. At thy word, I will let down the net. Isaiah said it this way in Isaiah 6:8. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Last night, I drove down to the city of Torrance, Gardena maybe, and I was invited to preach there the ordination for three graduates of West Coast Baptist College. I hope maybe to write a blog on it sometime when I get time. I haven't found the time yet. I put a few pictures on Twitter. But I was able to go down. Dr. Rasmussen joined me there, and one of our other members and the Harris family was there as well, because their son-in-law, Jimmy Pock, was one that was ordained, and Paul Choi was one, and then Brother Jonas So. And each of these men, of course, had their questioning about a week ago. And each of these young men now were presented to be ordained into the gospel ministry. And there were about 30 or 40 Korean pastors from different states that had come in. And it was a blessing to me. A lot of these pastors were up in years, but here were three young men that were trained and surrendered for the gospel ministry, and they'd answered their questions. And it was a tremendous blessing to gather around them, put our hands on their heads, and pray for them as they were set apart for the gospel ministry. And each of them, Brother Jonas So has already started a church down not far from Western Boulevard in downtown Los Angeles area. And Brother Paul Choi, one of our graduates, will be planting a church next year in the city of Irvine, California. And Brother Jimmy Pak is working there with Pastor Choi in Gardena. And what a blessing to see three young men who said, essentially, here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, send me. Whether it's downtown Los Angeles, whether it's Irvine, whether it's Korea, the Philippines, or right here in Lancaster, God is looking for Christians who just will simply say, here am I, Lord, send me. And listen, some of you have been sent to work at a school, and to work at a hospital, and to work in tech, and to work at the base, and to work in some other place. But all of us must recognize the fact God has ordained us and placed us there for the preaching of His gospel. Acts chapter 9 in verse 6, and he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told what thou must do. The very first thing the Apostle Paul said when he got saved, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Paul was on his way to Damascus in modern day Syria, and he was going up that way when a light from heaven shone down upon him. And you know the story. The light from heaven was the Lord Jesus himself. And he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And you know, when Saul was converted that day, his first response was, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? May I say that most every one of you, when you were first saved, that was exactly what you had on your heart. Lord, what do you want me to do? How can I serve you? And may I say that many of you have laid down on the altar your time, your talent, and your treasure. Don't be like the Christian that picks it back up and takes it back to the seat. Leave your life on the altar as a living sacrifice to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see there was a heartfelt response. Peter said, at thy word, I will. We see the command of our Savior. We hear the consent of Peter. But then I want to share this last thought with you. It's such a blessing. And notice, if you would, the consequence of obedience. The consequence of obedience. Now, how many of you believe that we should obey God just because it's right to obey God? Amen? I mean, how many of you would say, if you have to give your kid a ticket to Disneyland every time he takes the trash out, you're going to go broke fast, right? The other day, we were having our family picture taken, and Delaney, our little granddaughter, she was in no mood for it. It wasn't her day for family pictures. And how many of you understand when a girl or a woman just is not having the day for it, it's just not going to happen usually. And we were trying to kind of coax her into the family picture moment, you know, and we were trying to help her get into the happy moment, you know, and so we were doing about everything we could, and I was telling her, she loves to swim. I said, we'll go swimming, lady, if you'll just smile, lady, and we'll how about some ice cream? Like that. She just wasn't, I mean, not a thing we could say was really impressing her very much. And yet, in my mind, I'm thinking, now look here, young lady, you ought to be smiling just because I'm telling you to smile, but it wasn't working that way. The fact of the matter is that we should obey God just because He's our maker. He's our creator. Who are we to negotiate with God? But I want you to see here the consequence of obedience. You see, besides the fact that we just should, God says, let me tell you what I'm going to do for you. If you'll just launch out into the deep, there's some things I want to do for you. Now let's notice some of those things. First of all, verse 6, and when they had this done, when they let down the net, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. The first consequence of obeying God is the provision of God. When you obey God, you position yourself for the blessing of God. Now, I'm not speaking about the health, wealth, and prosperity doctrine that we sometimes hear about. I'm not saying that just because you give or serve, then you're going to have more blessings than you possibly know. But I am saying the Bible teaches, give, and it shall be, say it with me, given unto you, good measure, pressed down and running over, shall men give into your bosom. God says, I want to give to you. I want to bless you. And right here we see Peter, he lets down the net. And then the very next verse we read that the nets are filled with God's provision. How many of you, by the way, believe that was God's provision? That was God filling up that net. And whenever you partner with God, you're going to see a harvest. You're going to see that God will bring in the harvest. Remember 1 Corinthians 3. I believe it's in your notes. Verse 5. Notice this, please. It says, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos water, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. Now, you've heard that phrase. Some plant, some water, but God gives what? The increase. You know what happens on a week like this, and I'm anxious to hear how God does it. There's going to be someone at a commuter lane, someone at a commuter parking lot, that's going to receive a donut and coffee. They're going to receive a LoveWorks brochure. And then not too far from there, their teenager's going to get a sandwich, and he's going to get the same brochure. And they're going to talk about that somewhere along the line this week. And it's going to dawn on a family somewhere in Palmdale, somewhere in Lancaster, that there's actually a church that really does care. And the Holy Spirit's going to work in their hearts to say, you know, we ought to just go check that out. We ought to go see what's going on. And all of a sudden, because all we did was let down the net, God begins to do what only God can do, because it's God that gives the increase. All we are ignorant fishermen who just throw out the bait. We're just here to obey God, but God does the rest. God puts it all together. And every time someone is saved, and every time a family is added to the church, that's not because we were so smart with our program. That's because God is so great in His love for this city. God loves this area. So the first consequence is the provision of God. Notice secondly, the second consequence is the praise of God. The praise of God. Now notice in verse 8 what happens. When Simon Peter saw it, speaking of ships that were filling up with fish, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Now sometimes in our average everyday life, we can convince ourselves that we're okay. We read our Bible, we pray, we go through some motions. And so we're doing all right. God is wonderful, but so are we. And sometimes we can have the idea that it's good for God that He has us on His side. And Peter, how many of you have studied enough of Peter's life to know that he would have been prone to that thought process? He was pretty proud of his ability. He'd say things like, well, all the others might deny you, Lord, but I'll never deny you. And then, of course, we know the rest of the story. And oftentimes he felt himself more worthy of praise and more dependable than other men. But when you see the miracle of God, you are reminded of your own insignificance. And that's what happens here in verse 8. Because Peter, the mighty fisherman, the great businessman, the valiant warrior, you would say, falls down to his knees. And at that moment, the Bible tells us that he says, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. And he got a new glimpse of himself and a new glimpse of God. And it's a wonderful thing when you see God touch someone's life and you see God do a wonderful work and you know that it was all God. You did what you could, but you know that it was God that provided. And then you're able to just step back and say, praise God from whom all blessings flow. That's why Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's why the Lord said to the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, Paul said, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And when you see God do something great, then the consequence of your obedience is, yes, the provision of God. But that causes us to praise God for what he did. And it's my prayer that by the end of October, we'll be praising God all over the place, all over the internet, all over Twitter, all over this campus, everywhere you go. Praise God for those kids that got saved. Praise God for that guy at the rescue mission that got saved. Praise God for that lady at the hospital that got saved. Praise God for what he did. All we did was let out some of the nets, but God did a mighty work. And one of the consequences of obedience is people begin to praise God for the great things he does. Let me tell you the third consequence. The third consequence, as we close tonight, is that when you obey God, you begin to find your purpose in life once again. Now, I'm going to tell you something as your pastor for 28 years. Those of you that I've pastored a while, if I could just speak to you for a moment, if we could pretend we're sitting right across from a desk, maybe from one another. Those of you over the years that have been involved serving the Lord and are still involved serving the Lord, those have been or those are your happiest days in life. But the happiest days of life for you and for me as God's children have not been when maybe there's been great things going on at your job. That's good. That's a blessing. But the happiest days have not been when maybe you've had success in some civic arena. That's all right. It's interesting. But the happiest days of your life and mine have been when we've seen other people getting saved, when we've seen missionaries being sent, when we've seen God's work going forward. Because those are the moments of life when you're fulfilling your purpose. Because listen, when you stand before Jesus, it will not matter one iota how many advances you made at work. It will not matter one iota all of the political hodgepodge that goes on in this world. None of that is really important in heaven tonight. The one thing that gets people cheering in heaven is when other people get saved. And you are happier when you discover your purpose, and your purpose is in serving God and helping others to know him. So look at that in verse 10. It says, and so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Let's say that together. From henceforth thou shalt catch men. Sometimes we think about life, the purpose of life. Why does God have us here? And I believe that God has one overwhelming desire tonight, and that is that men and women in this planet would come to know his Son, Jesus Christ, and be saved. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Romans 5:6, but when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Now you see the consequence to obedience very simply. First, when we obey, God provides. Second, when God provides, we praise. Third, along the way of obedience, we discover our purpose is not to be the best mechanic. It's not to be the best police officer. Those are great things. It's not to be the best politician. That may be a wonderful thing. The greatest purpose in life is to use all of those other platforms to exalt the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we begin to exalt self, and when it's more about ourselves, then we're losing the point and we're losing the purpose of life. The purpose of life is to know him and to make him known. And so I'm excited that we as a church are launching out in the Love Works program. Because as we do, God's going to provide for this church. How many of you believe God will take care of a church that's obeying his great commission? Not only will God provide for this church, but we'll have more to praise God for. It won't be 2 years ago missions conference, or 5 years ago building program, or 4 years ago who got saved. We're going to have some fresh blessings to praise God for. And along the way, some of our newer Christians, and some of you who've been saved a while, are going to rediscover your purpose in life. And that purpose and that joy is found Not just in reading the Bible, there's joy there. Not just your private meditations with God, there is joy there. But the real joy is in serving Jesus. There is joy, joy, joy in serving Jesus, the songwriter said. And I pray that this month will be a joyous month for you as you discover your purpose anew and afresh to the glory of God. The command of the Savior, it's clear. Launch out into the deep. And then the consent of Peter, it's necessary. At thy word, I will. The consequences, the blessing of God, the praise of God, the purpose of God are a thrill to enjoy. Let's pray together, shall we? Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight that you have given us a theme this year that allows us to launch out by faith. And I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts and that every one of us tonight would say, I will, I will. And Lord, I pray that because of that, we would see a renewing of purpose in many lives. Not just seeing people saved, but also seeing Christians finding their purpose once again.